It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow is the deadline for the state legislature to pass a budget. Considering it took 9 months to get it done last year, you may think they aren't sweating it out this time around, but they also know how easily lawmakers and the governor can become entrenched in their positions, and things can spiral out of control. With that in mind, the House yesterday passed a $31.6 billion spending plan for 2016-2017, a 5% increase from last year's budget. But Senate leaders indicate they won't sign off on the plan as is, and Governor Wolf is reportedly holding off on endorsing it. So where does that leave us? Joining us now to discuss what's in the House plan is Republican State Representative Dave Reed, the House Majority Leader from Indiana County. He joins us by phone from Harrisburg. Representative Reed, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Paul.
And you can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number with a comment or question about the state budget process, what you think priorities should be at this point, your concerns about meeting the deadline, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Representative Dave Reed, what has made this year's budget negotiations different than last year? How has the tone and tenor of the negotiations changed?
Well, I think a couple different things. First off, you know, folks have come into the realm of more realistic expectations from both political perspectives. Now, obviously, the governor proposed a $33.3 billion budget back in February, but recognized over, you know, in March and April and May that that was just not possible. That was not going to happen. We were not going to increase state spending by $3, $4, or $5 billion. We're not going to increase the sales tax. We're not going to increase the income tax. So that narrowed the realm of the discussions very, very quickly. And at least on the House side, we have been very productive over the last several months working with our colleagues on the Democratic side of the aisle to put together the proposals that maybe they're not perfect from their perspective, maybe they're not perfect from our perspective, but actually getting agenda items done. And that started way back in March and April when we finally passed medical marijuana and made it legalized in Pennsylvania. Then we moved on to privatizing our wine system and modernizing our liquor system in Pennsylvania. We passed pension reform just 2 weeks ago, passed gaming expansion this week, and passed a general appropriations budget bill as well. And, you know, I would point out that most of those items actually passed with the majority of each of the two caucuses supporting them. So we found a way in the House to work jointly to get some of these agenda items checked off. And look, we recognize, I'm sure there are things that the governor would like to do differently that, you know, he can come back. If he gets a Democratic majority in the House and Senate, he can push further. And from our perspective, there are things that we would like to go further on. When we get a Republican governor, we still have that opportunity, but it was no reason to just not do anything in the interim while we have divided government. You know, we weren't interested in becoming Washington, D.C., where both sides sit around staring at each other for 6 or 8 years, and you don't actually accomplish anything for the citizens of our state.
So the priority here was to find a way to compromise.
It was to try to find a way where we recognized each side had priorities, that some of the priorities were just going to have to be held off for a different day, and let's see what we can actually move forward with together. And, you know, so far, at least in the House, we've been pretty successful in that.
Governor Wolf's priorities, as I'm sure you're aware, include a significant increase in education funding. He's come down to a figure of $250 million for that, plus a hefty amount for his initiative to deal with the epidemic of opioid abuse in our state. Will the governor be satisfied that his priorities are being met here, do you think?
You know, I think we went probably 80-90% of the way on getting him to where he wanted to go as far as education funding goes, particularly for basic ed and early childhood education. And look, we also put in one of our priorities, an expansion of the EITC program to help with private schools tuition through a corporate tax credit program that has been a very, very successful program throughout this state. And on the opioid addiction, I think the funding that we put into the budget that passed the House, $15 million, is seen as the first step towards fighting the opioid epidemic in the state. And obviously, we all stood together late last week and called for a joint session so that we make sure that these dollars are actually being spent in the most effective means possible to combat the opioid addiction.
We've discussed what the priorities are for Democrats in this year's budget process. What would you say the priorities are for Republicans? You mentioned the EITC program, but I'm sure there are things that that you and your fellow legislators who are in the majority in the House, and for that matter in the Senate, you know, what are you fellows looking at and ladies and saying, this is what we have to have in the budget?
You know, I think our number one priority was to keep spending as low as possible, and recognizing that we've got mandatory increases from the federal government and legal obligations through pension obligations, through debt service obligations and entitlement increases. You know, like I said, the governor was at $33.3 billion. The budget we passed through the House was almost $1.9 billion less than he was proposing. And a lot of those reductions came from really cutting in to the Department of Public Welfare, reducing those mandated increases by $675 million to bring down that increase in spending for this year. And look, it is a tough job. It is not a perfect job. We looked at other issues as well. We wanted to get wine into the private sector. We've been successful in doing so. We wanted to be responsible in our educational funding investments, both with the public school segment, but also with the EITC program. And overall, we weren't looking to add pet projects or anything like that for legislators to go back home in their districts. We just wanted a responsible budget that funded the core functions of government and allowed us to move on with predictability in the next year.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and our guest is Representative Dave Reed, the House Majority Leader. And if you have a comment or question for him, again, 412-246-2002. Again, the number 412-246-2002. He's here for a limited time. He's a busy man. Everybody is in Harrisburg during this particular week. And so now's your chance to get into the conversation and ask a comment or ask a question and make a comment. Again, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Representative Reed, what have you been hearing from your constituents in Indiana County and around the state? What are the people saying about what their priorities are and how they want to see this budget process play out this year?
You know, I actually think this budget meets the priorities that I've been hearing back home. First, folks do not want to go through another 9-month budget standoff.
Right.
Second, they're not interested in a discussion on an income tax or sales tax increase that's not related to property tax reductions or elimination. Third, they want to make sure we're investing in our schools. And fourth, they want to see us try to get at these increases in entitlement spending at the state level, because they are just driving the budget along with our pension obligations. And I think folks are interested in pension reform as well. And that is part of the reason we sent a bill over to the Senate a couple weeks ago. Haven't heard exactly how that will play out, but that's a priority for a lot of folks in Pennsylvania.
And I mentioned earlier the figure, the total on this House budget, $31.6 billion, that it represents a 5% spending increase without raising sales or income taxes, which, as you say, is a priority for your constituents, people back in your district, as well as other folks around the state. Certainly legislators were looking to stay away from that. The governor is going along with that. So where is the revenue coming from then to pay for these things, especially when we're looking at more spending, at least in this House version of the budget?
Well, and we'll wait to see what exactly the Senate puts forth in their version of the budget. We hear that they may make some changes today, and we'll be able to see that later on today. But realistically, that spend number, 31.554, is actually $400 million less than the mandated increases in spending for the next year. And a lot of that savings came from the Department of Public Welfare. But when you look at our pension obligations, when you look at our county child services obligations, when you look at those sort of things, you know, there's actually only a couple hundred million dollars extra for education, and that's the budget. We did not allow this to turn into a process like they have before, where, you know, everybody puts in their own little pet projects and, you know, all of a sudden, you start with a couple hundred million dollar gap and you end up with a $4 billion gap. You know, that's not something we've been interested in. From a revenue perspective, we've said in the House, you know, we passed a gaming expansion bill to bring in nearly $300 million this week with bipartisan support. You know, we've looked at a taxed amnesty program. We look at the proceeds from the liquor bill that was signed into law by the governor a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the other item that's had the most support in both caucuses in the House has been changes to our tobacco taxes. And we believe those revenues are sufficient, you know, today to meet those obligations.
Can you explain how the liquor revenue will increase with more privatization if, for example, grocery stores can sell wine? I think a lot of us are trying to wrap our heads around this. How does that bring more money to the state in terms of taxes, or how does that work?
It's both license fees to purchase the license to be able to sell the wine in the grocery stores, but it's also tax revenue. Because, I mean, most folks look at our liquor control board and our state store system and believe that it's kind of like a pot of gold that they just hand over random money. What they're handing over is tax revenue. So whether it's a state store that collects that tax revenue or, you know, a Giant Eagle that collects that tax revenue, it's still tax revenue coming in. And by expanding our system into the private market with the increased sales associated with that, and also, you know, adding some modern techniques to our existing liquor system, you know, the budget secretary has estimated it's about $150 million additional dollars on top of what already is coming in that will be coming to the state over the next year.
Are you satisfied that Pennsylvania's $1.8 billion deficit is being adequately addressed in this session?
You know, I think we are balancing a budget. We are doing it in a responsible manner. We still have challenges ahead. There's no doubt about it. As long as our pension obligations keep increasing and we keep getting these mandates from the federal government with entitlement programs, it's still a fight. We're going to have to fight for a number of years until the economy completely recovers. But I think this product actually balances our budget in a very, very reasonable fashion.
412-246-2002 is the number to call, and we have, I think it's Jack in Pittsburgh. Jack, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Jack. Go ahead.
I've got questions about the Pennsylvania Film Tax Credit. I'm wondering where it's standing in the proposed budget.
There have been no proposed changes to the Film Tax Credit.
Well, okay.
What would you like to see there, Jack?
I would like to see either the cap raised or the cap removed. Those of us in the film business in Western Pennsylvania are losing a lot of work to states that have a more beneficial film tax credit, such as Massachusetts, although they are changing theirs a bit, but especially Georgia, the Atlanta area.
So, well, Representative Reed, is this something that has come up? Has it been discussed? What Jack is describing is something that a lot of people here in Pittsburgh, the film industry is doing quite well, but there are people who feel it could do better with better tax incentives. And so, that having been said, has there been a discussion about concerns over film work going to other states, films being made elsewhere? Is making Pennsylvania a place that is welcoming to filmmakers a priority for legislators?
Well, look, the film tax credit has actually been one of the more successful programs we've had in Pennsylvania over the last number of years. And, you know, coming from the western half of the state, not that far from Pittsburgh, I know the economic opportunities it's brought into the region have been tremendous. Folks have talked about changes to the film tax credit system as well as a number of other tax credit programs. Most of that has been put on hold this year just because we're trying to close a potential budget gap here. So I think those discussions will probably continue, but probably will not be part of the final budget agreement this year.
Let's go to Annie in Pittsburgh at 412-246-2002. Hi, Annie. You're on with Representative Dave Reed.
Hi, thank you. I was calling to ask about sex education in the current budget, especially in light of all the changes possible for abortion rights. I just want to make sure we're still focusing on sex education and Plan B, and also so many HIV cases still coming up.
Okay. What about sex education funding, Representative Reed?
There is nothing that's changing in that arena from previous budgets. It's basically, you know, we're implementing the same amount of dollars and same programs we have in the past.
Thanks for the call, Annie. Let's go to Joe in Oakland. Hi, Joe. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm wondering if the governor's $2 million increase for OVR made it into the budget this year.
$2 million increase for OVR.
Yep. vocational rehabilitation?
I'm trying to actually look at a spreadsheet because it's a $31 billion budget, so I'm looking here to see if I can find it quickly.
Okay, we can, Joe,
you know what, I'm not going to be able to find it off the quickly here going through the spreadsheet, but if you would like to call my office here at the Capitol, we could try to get that answer for you. The number is 717-705-7173, and we'll try to get that answer for you.
All right, Joe, hopefully that works. That's 717-705-7173. We'll put links on our website also at WESA.FM. Joe, thank you for that question. So at this point, I'm sure with the deadline looming, the question everybody is wondering about, Representative Reed, is do you think the legislature and the governor, do you think that with the things that are still left hanging out there, what, the Senate still needing to approve this before it goes to the governor's desk for his signature, that the parties involved will be able to come to a budget agreement by tomorrow's deadline?
Look, I think everybody's working very hard to try to make that a reality. Things are probably 98% of the way there. You know, if you look at that in comparison to where we were last June, we were light years apart. So whether it's exactly tomorrow by midnight, but I think it's going to be in the ballpark, you know, give or take.
And what kind of last-minute changes do you anticipate? And if there are changes, if you could explain how that works, if the version that you have sent to the Senate, if the Senate makes changes, does the budget then go back to the House for approval?
Yes, and what will happen, and I don't know what changes they're considering. We haven't heard from them yet in that regard. But they could make those changes today, vote on it, send it back to us, and we could potentially vote on those changes tomorrow and send it to the governor.
Okay. Well, the clock is ticking, less than 26 hours to go, but you don't sound worried, Representative Reed, so that we'll take that as a good sign.
Well, it's certainly better than it was last year.
There is no doubt about that. Representative Dave Reed, the House Majority Leader from Indiana County, joining us by phone from Harrisburg. Thanks so much for your time today and joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me on the show, Paul.
Coming up, we'll learn how engineers are creating safe and controlled artificial intelligence technologies like driverless cars. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.